And now, Ben Bailey.
The Scripture says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Proverbs 23, verse 23. There is a high premium placed on the truth of God in the Scripture because of its power to make us free from sin. John chapter 8, verse 32. And no matter what the cost is to us, we must make sure that we have the truth and that we're living by it. In this series of lessons, we've been looking at various doctrines of men and comparing those with the Word of God. Today we're going to look at the errors of the community church movement. Is this movement something that God has authorized? Is it something that glorifies God? What is the community church movement? In a nutshell, the community church movement is not about bringing men up to God's standard. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, Colossians 3 verse 1. Rather, the community church movement is about bringing God down to man's standard. It's all about popularity and what does the populace want, and we can make that happen for you if that's what you want. For example, this movement began with Bill Hybels. He sent out a survey asking, why are people in our community not going to church? Why don't you and your family go to church? And here's the top four reasons that he got. It was noted in this survey, number one, people didn't like being begged for money or bugged for money. Number two, they found church to be boring, predictable, and routine. Number three, they didn't think that church was relevant to their lives. And number four, they always left church feeling guilty. That is, the Christian message was too negative with sin. And so he monopolized on these ideas, and he thought to himself, if I can get these things out, I can get people in church. The problem with that is, these things that many people didn't like were things that God has put in the Bible, things they needed to hear, although it may have made them feel guilty. They're not what men want, but they are what God has asked for. Many men have played a big role in this. Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, all of these movements are growing super fast, and when you look around, they seem to be popping up everywhere. What do they teach? Are they something that is in line with the Bible? Do they teach what God says in Scripture? Let's notice some errors that the community church movement does have, and we'll compare those with the Bible. First of all, the community church movement has a flawed view of Bible authority. This statement comes from the Willow Creek website, and I want you to notice what they say concerning Bible authority. It reads, Willow Creek Community Church official statement is, the sole basis of our belief is the Bible, which is uniquely God-inspired, without error, and notice, and the final authority, but here's the kicker, on all matters on which it bears. Now, much of this sounds good. The Bible's inspired, it's our final authority, it's from God. Well, what's the problem with that? That little part at the end, on all matters to which it bears. That opens up a floodgate for things which they think the Bible doesn't speak on and which men are free and open to do. The only problem is, the Bible is the authority, not on all matters which it bears, on all matters, period. Notice the words of 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, as His divine power has given to us all things, listen, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. When it comes to living the good life, and when it comes to being the godly person I need to be, the Bible has not all things on which it bears, all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge in the Scripture. There are no big open doors through which we may walk in any way we want. God has specified how to live your life. God has specified how to be a godly person, and God has already settled this in His Word. Psalm 119:89, God's Word is settled forever in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That leaves us with no authority. Jesus has already decided. Therefore, we must look for God's authority in all matters. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, we're to do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. The Bible says we're to do everything in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:17. And don't you remember the words of the closing book of the Bible, Revelation 22:18-19? We're not to add to nor take away from the Word of God. Oh, how we need the mindset of John 2:5. Mary turned to the servants and she said, "Whatever He, Jesus, says to you, do it." She didn't say, "If He says it." She says, "You do what Jesus says. You find out what's right and you do it." The same is true for us. We are to speak as God has orated, as the oracles of God. We're not to add to God's Word lest He rebuke us and we be found a liar. Proverbs 30:6. And oh, how I wish people inside these movements could get a clear understanding of 1 Corinthians 4:6. Listen to these words and notice what they say. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:6, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, listen, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what's written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." Did you hear the clear teaching there? Paul said, "Yeah, we've taken some things, we made it figurative, but here's the point of it all. That you may learn in us, don't think beyond what's written." How we need to realize that God has spoken, and the fact that there may be things of which we have some expediency in matters of option and opinion doesn't mean that doctrinal doors are left wide open and we can do whatever we want. We're not to go beyond. We're not to go beyond that which is written in the Scripture. We must stay true to the Word of God. And so it has a flawed view of Bible authority. It's not on all matters which it bears. It's on all matters, period. Also, they have a flawed view. The community church movement has a flawed view of New Testament singing. In most places, they employ a 10-piece rock band. Looks more like a concert than anything else. Smoke and fireworks and all kind of psychedelic lights are going off, and it looks like you walked into a concert. Is that what the New Testament teaches concerning singing? Did God ask for all this show and all this pizzazz and all these things going on? God made it very simple. Notice the words of Ephesians 5:19. The Scripture says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." God didn't ask for a 10-piece band. God didn't ask for fireworks or sparks shooting out of the floor or things of that nature. God said you're to speak to one another. You're to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And notice, you are to make melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, the companion passage, tells us we're to teach and admonish one another. That's the purpose, to glorify God, to encourage one another, and to do it the way God has told us to. 1 Corinthians 14:15, the Bible says, "I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding." This movement is so caught up in the entertainment industry. They're all about making people have fun. I want to go and feel like I've been at a concert. I want to walk away with that euphoria. The problem is, God never asked for those things. The Bible is clear on its teaching, and if God wants us to do that, He would have told us, and remember, we're not to go beyond that which is written. The community church movement also has a flawed view of the church, of New Testament church organization. Here's how it usually goes inside a community church movement. The organization is like this. There is a senior pastor, there is an executive pastor, and then there's usually a pastor of administration. What I ask is, where do all those things come up at in the Bible? If we're not to add to or take away, Revelation 22:18-19, and if God tells us everything we need for life and godliness, and the Scripture is complete, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where do you find a senior pastor and an executive pastor and a pastor of administration? Here's the biblical pattern for church organization. Jesus is the head of the church. That in all things, he might be head of the body, which is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Elders then are placed as overseers, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, as shepherds of the flock, Hebrews 13, 17, and as bishops, those who are over the flock and try to help people get to heaven, Acts chapter 20, verses 18 following. And then you have deacons. These are official servants inside the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 12, they are to serve well. And then all members stand on level ground at the foot of the cross to the bishops and the deacons and all the saints who are in Philippi. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. And yet you never find all these senior pastors, executive pastors, pastors of administration. You don't find any of that. In fact, the word pastor is used in the Scripture, 1 Peter 5 and Acts chapter 20, to represent the office of elders, Acts chapter 14, 17, where there are elders, a plurality, in every congregation. But you know what doesn't surprise me when you've got an organization like this? When you've got a senior and an executive and administrative pastor, little wonder is it then that embezzlement is so common in places like these. In fact, I read a study recently where the quickest way to get rich was found out. Do you know what it is? Start your own church. The quickest way to get rich in the United States currently is to start your own church. How? In the name of religion, in the name of God, you can get people to come and give money with a complete control of it. And people do that thinking they're trying to please God, and yet many people have been hoodwinked by doing that. And so it has a flawed view of church organization. It has a flawed view of the New Testament teaching concerning baptism. I want you to listen to the statement at the Saddleback Community Church concerning baptism. Listen to these words. Their official statement concerning baptism is, "Baptism doesn't make you a believer. It shows that you already believe. Baptism does not save you. Only your faith in Christ does that. Baptism is like a wedding ring. It's the outward symbol of the commitment you make in your heart." Now listen to the blatant teaching. Baptism does not save you. Let's compare that with 1 Peter 3:21. Now you've heard what the community church teaches. Let's hear what God says. 1 Peter 3:21 says this: "There is also an antitype, listen, which now saves us." Baptism. "Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, it's choosing time. The Saddleback and the community church movement says baptism doesn't save. God in the Bible says baptism does now also save us. It's choice time. Who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the community church movement, which is looking to make people happy? Or are you going to choose the Bible, which is in direct opposition to the teaching of the community church movement? In fact, it's not just in 1 Peter 3:21. There are multiple places that teach baptism is essential. Acts 22:16, Saul was told, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and listen, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord."